listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Jake Carlisle Larson. That's All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix, released 50 years ago in 1968. In that year, there were protests and riots across the country against racism, sexism, and the Vietnam War. Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert Kennedy were assassinated, and Richard Nixon was elected president. And our next guest says that the year 1968 has lessons for us in the year 2018.
Jeremy Suri is with us now. He's the Mac Brown Distinguished Professor of History and Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin. He's written and edited books on 1968. His latest book is The Impossible Presidency, The Rise and Fall of America's Highest Office. Jeremy, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on, Rob.
Well, Jeremy, I think a lot of people get the sense that 1968 was a pivotal year in American history. You've written about it more generally. It was a big year globally, wasn't it?
Yes, it was one of those years. We have these years every now and then where you had simultaneous disruption, simultaneous challenges to existing orders and existing assumptions of politics and personal behavior across four continents, really, in the United States, in Europe, in Asia, and in South America, as well as almost every other part of the globe as well.
It's been 50 years. Some people see parallels, a tumultuous time, questioning a lot of assumptions in 2018. Do you see those parallels?
I do. I think there are three striking parallels. Of course, there are many differences, but the three parallels that appear very strong to me are, first, the existing political parties, the existing political institutions, don't seem credible or satisfying anymore for a majority of people, or at least a vocal number of people in many societies. This is true with the Brexit vote. This is true with the 2016 election in the United States. Second, this uncertainty, this discontent has produced an opening for change. It's very disheartening at moments. It's very scary. I know I'm scared. But the scariness of our moment means there's also an openness for transformation, as there certainly was in 1968. And then the third point is there are a lot of people being hurt by this disruption. This is something that often gets lost in the rock and roll histories of 1968, not just the assassinations of American political figures, but the thousands of Americans who died in Vietnam and the violence that occurred in places like Prague, Paris, and other parts of the world. These moments of transition are very violent and very hurtful for many people, and that's something we are not paying enough attention to right now.
Is 1968 and the present day, are they notably different than other times? Because we could name off lots of times that were the standard order of things was being disrupted, the Depression era, the World Wars, things like that. Are they all turbulent times, or was there something distinctive about 1968?
I think there is always turbulence in the world, Rob, and maybe there's more turbulence than ever with the faster movement of media and communications as a whole. But there are these moments about every half century or so when things seem to happen in different places at the same time where they normally don't happen. And I think in part that's because of the linkages of parts of the world, but that's also because of what we as historians would point to as structural problems that reach fruition. Another way of putting this is that intolerable situations, dissatisfying situations can go on for a long time, but they reach a breaking point, and they tend to reach a breaking point at similar moments in similar societies. And that's certainly what we experienced in 68, and I think it's what we're experiencing again today.
So in 1968, those structural problems, I mean, you had the end of the colonial era and the last sort of dying signs of that with the war in Vietnam and problems elsewhere, and also here in the United States in particular, issues of race. Do you see those as a couple of the big issues that came to a head in 1968?
Absolutely. The way I would put that to bring up the parallels for today is we saw the changing nature of the international system where a few dominant powers were not able to control far reaches of their former empires in the way they normally could before. And we saw the emergence and the recognition of racism and struggles over the future of what a post-racial society would look like, or at least a less racist society would look like, not just in the United States, but in places like France that also had racism. racial issues at that time, and I think a lot of those are parallels with today. At the root of these shifts, I think, are two other things, Rob. One is demographic change. The late 60s saw the coming of age of a new large generation of post-World War II citizens who had gone to university, were more educated than their parents, and had a different perspective on the world. And the second big change is that the economies that had produced so much wealth, at least in Western Europe and the United States, were beginning to run into trouble in the late 60s because of the emerging oil crisis, inflation, and various other issues. And the economic and demographic pressures then, as today, pushed rapid political change.
Jeremy Suri is with us, historian from the University of Texas, Austin. Comparing and contrasting, 1968, a big year, a turbulent year in American history and world history, and lessons we can learn here in 2018. Jeremy, you mentioned that new generation, the baby boomers in the 1960s, when people, people had a stereotypical view of the 1960s, it would involve a lot of, I think, youth activism. Are you seeing comparable things today?
I think so. First of all, just anecdotally, Rob, my students have never been more engaged than they are today. This makes the Obama moment of 2008 look far less engaging than it is today. Our young people are more worried, but they're also more engaged in politics, more active. Look at all the women, it's marches around the country. And then social media, through the Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter, and various other forums, is providing for more communication and activism among young people than we've seen in a long time. So I think this is the millennial political moment. What it will produce, I'm still not certain, but I do think there's a lot of evidence of renewed, expanded engagement among young people.
And there are two different reads on that then and now, in the 1960s and now. A lot of youth activism. Some people might say that's great. It's encouraging. People are looking to change the world for the better. There might also be a reaction that the world is out of control. These young people are out of control. We need to rein things in. So you could end up with Richard Nixon becoming elected president by expressing that view, later Ronald Reagan following in his footsteps, and now Donald Trump today. It's a double-edged coin.
As with all coins, there are two sides, there's no doubt. And the inclination, and this gets us into the space about historical lessons, the inclination in the late 60s among some was indeed to try to batten down the hatches and reestablish order. And that was the allure of Richard Nixon's law and order and silent majority claims. And to some extent, that's the allure of Donald Trump for many people. But the lesson from the late 60s, Rob, is that you cannot bottle up these changes. And in fact, changes continued and transformed American society. If you think about gay rights, if you think about feminism, if you think about the startup economies in Silicon Valley and Austin, Texas, our world was transformed by these broader tectonic shifts. And they were largely positive, though not entirely.
I'm going to jump in, Jeremy, where your line's breaking up a little. We're going to try reconnecting real quickly. Just as a reminder, we're talking to historian Jeremy Suri, learning lessons from 1968, a turbulent year, a pivotal year in American and world history in many ways. And today he's looking at some comparisons and contrasts between the two. Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk to a guest who says, yeah, a lot of the economic growth in the United States is concentrated in the biggest cities, a lot of a handful of metropolitan areas. He says, don't give up on the rest of the country, on the smaller cities, on rural America, just because that's not where the action is this year. That's coming up in just a little bit after the news. Reconnecting with Jeremy Suri now for a conversation about 1968. Hopefully have him on the line in just a moment. Things don't look all that promising. We'll see. You can call in with your thoughts. You can get ready to be on the air for our next conversation. If you are in a smaller city, a smaller community around Wisconsin, you can get your call in now and get on the line. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. You can always email about any of the topics we're talking about at ideas@WPR.org. Still no luck on reconnecting with Jeremy Suri after that rough phone line. So let's start inviting your calls in now. Henry Grabar will be with us from Slate talking about smaller communities in America and the American economy. Get your calls in now, 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org.
You can, again, call 800-642-1234. With this conversation with Henry Grabar coming up, do you live in a small to medium-sized city? Do you have you seen some bad news in terms of jobs, factory closings, and other problems? We want to get you on the line for this conversation.
Looks like we have Jeremy Suri back on the line. Jeremy, sorry about that. We had a bad line. I just want to get to some takeaways as we wrap up. As American people are watching turbulent times, what are you watching for in the years to come?
I'm watching for two things, Rob. First, whether the political system finds leaders who will speak to the broader youth engagement and speak to the broader issues, some of the things that Bernie Sanders began to speak to. And second, whether new institutions are formed as well as new leaders, whether we see the equivalent of some of the student movement organizations turning into mainstream organizations in the way they did in the 1970s.
And is Democrat and Republican going to mean something different in a couple years than it did 2 years ago?
Absolutely. The parties will be redefined in their meaning. Whether these two parties survive, I don't know. I think right now we already have the splintering of the Republican Party into two separate parties. And I think the meaning of these parties, think how different the meaning of race was for the Democratic Party after the 1960s versus where it was in the 1950s. Certainly one party is going to have to speak to women of color much more. One party is going to have to speak to white voters who don't see themselves identifying with the Tea Party and identifying with Donald Trump. So we are going to see major shift in these parties as we did after 1968.
Jeremy, thanks for bearing with us on the phone line. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Rob.
That's Jeremy Suri from the University of Texas, Austin, with us to talk about what 1968 can teach us today, 50 years later.